This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Championship Sunday on ProfitX. From SGPs and player props to Super Bowl futures and more, ProfitX has everything you need to stay ahead of the action. Get your bankroll ready for Super Bowl props, college hoops, and the big games this weekend with some of the best pricing available. And don't forget to take advantage of ProfitX's 20% purchase match. Download ProfitX today and experience the future of winning. Use promo code VSIN to get started. Will Hill is back on Friday nights. This could be a three-hour show every Friday night, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific. And Will, great to have you back, man. You're not ready to talk baseball and the Yankees yet, are you?
Talked a little bit about it on my podcast. Had John Jastrzemski on. Talked a little Mets, little Yankees, but there's not much to talk about with the Yankees. They're just going to continue to run back the same team that wasn't really good enough last year. Hasn't been good enough outside of getting Juan Soto. Hasn't been good enough the last whatever 5-10 years. So Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman just asleep at the wheel as usual.
All right, I'm not going to let you go off on a tangent there about Cashman and Boone and Steinbrenner and all that stuff. Yeah, we'll save that for later. They did re-sign Cody Bellinger, though, right? That was a positive.
Congratulations. They couldn't afford to lose him, but at the same where is the team getting better?
All right, let's talk conference championship weekend. We got Patriots-Broncos preceding the Rams-Seahawks. Really got a great Final Four in the NFL playoffs coming up this weekend. Let's take a look at the look-ahead lines for the Super Bowl matchups. And, Will, if the Rams advance, Rams are going to be favored, obviously, in the Super Bowl. If they win in Seattle, Rams would be, and these are from DraftKings, you can see these numbers fluctuate a little bit over the weekend, and depending on how the games play out Sunday, these numbers could be a little bit different by Sunday night. But Rams -3 against the Patriots, Rams 8.5-point favorites against the Broncos, and those two possible matchups. Seahawks would be 3.5 against the Patriots, and Seahawks would be 9.5 against the Broncos. At least those numbers are up right now if you want to play them. The totals, the high total is Rams-Patriots. The high total there, 50.5. Rams-Broncos total, 42.5. Seahawks-Patriots total, 45.5. And Seahawks-Broncos, that would probably be the Super Bowl matchup that nobody really wants. Seahawks-Broncos, a low total of 38.5. You don't want to see a low total like that necessarily in a Super Bowl. Will, what you want in the Super Bowl matchup, if you're a bookmaker, if you're a bettor, you want a higher total. It's better for prop betting. And I think the Rams-Patriots would be the most attractive matchup. What about you?
Yeah, probably. I would think without a doubt, because you get the two MVP favorites. You get all the storylines that they've played before and pretty recently. And that's one where I think famously or infamously, if you're a sports book manager, director, whatever, that's one where they got crushed because everyone stayed under and a lot of the pro bettors did well playing unders. Public bay's over, so it depends which way you bet it. But that was one where nobody went over their total. There was no offense in that Rams-Patriots one. I think if anything, if you were going to get ahead of any of these, I'd probably take a shot on the Broncos ones with the idea that if they win in advance, Stidham has to play pretty well. And you have to realize if you're the books, if you're the market, that this was an overreaction from Knicks to Stidham like we've been talking about. And those 8.5s, 9.5s, I don't know that they go under 7. They probably don't. But those probably tick down a little bit. If Denver's able to win and Stidham is good enough to win the game and get into the Super Bowl, the narrative starts to take over. There's an upgrade and the overreaction corrects. Would you agree with that? Do you think those are a little high or do you think these are about right?
I think they're probably a little bit high, like you said, because actually, based on how the games play out Sunday, the numbers are going to be adjusted a little bit. If the Broncos play well and Jared Stidham plays well, I don't think they're going to be 8.5-point underdogs to the Rams. I don't think they'd be 9.5-point underdogs to the Seahawks. I think those numbers probably come down to like 7 or 7.5, right? Something like that.
Yeah, and it's something, and I have not had a great NFL year, But something I've been talking about, really, I think back to October, I couldn't understand the NFC and the NFC-AFC Super Bowl line is up pretty much all year in a lot of these books.
Yes.
And the money line was NFC minus 130, minus 135. I've talked about that a number of times where the Rams, the Seahawks, all the higher power-rated teams, unless you got the Bills in the Super Bowl, the NFC was probably going to be a favorite here. So that's one where I didn't hedge my Miami ticket the other night. I am going to hedge. It looks like I'll be able to have a nice middle here with the AFC plus the points, which I will almost certainly go for here after the way my future went down in flames the other night. But that was one that was up for a while until a week or two ago.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that could have thrown a wrench into that is you had something like maybe the Bears-Bills in a Super Bowl, yep. But that was unlikely to happen. And you know who's talked about that for the last couple of months is Frank Carulli, Las Vegas pro bettor. I know he's been all over the NFC on that Super Bowl line saying that number was cheap. And I know Frank's invested in the NFC on that look-ahead Super Bowl number. So the last time we had a Rams-Patriots Super Bowl, that was in 2019, Super Bowl 53. Patriots were 2.5-point favorites, and they won that game 13-3. That was Bill Belichick schooled Sean McVay and Jared Goff in that Super Bowl, 13-3. That was an ugly one. That was a really ugly game. Will, do you remember the total in that game was 56?
Wow. Well, that was a Rams team that was lighting the league on fire. Remember earlier that season, they played the Vikings on a Thursday night, and they were just lighting teams up, scoring 30-plus points every week. So, and you got Brady and the Patriots who score a lot of points. So I didn't remember it being that high. When you mentioned the look-ahead line and the total would be like 38.5 for Seahawks-Broncos, I'm trying to think, when is the last time we've had a Super Bowl with a total under 40? Maybe that Broncos Panthers won a decade ago with that great Broncos defense was somewhat low, and that was a low-scoring game. But no, to your point, 13-3 were the totals 56. I did not remember it winning by that much, to answer your question.
Yeah, I'm going through the Super Bowl betting history. Actually, the last time we had a total in the 30s for the Super Bowl was 2004, Patriots-Panthers. The total in that game was 37.5, and the Patriots won 32-29. Yeah. It was a shootout, 32-29, total was 37.5. Actually,
but it was like scoreless with it late in the first half, I think, or really low scoring. And then the second half, it was just an explosion. Mm-hmm.
Actually, when we had the Broncos-Panthers Super Bowl in 2016 in Santa Clara, Broncos were 5-point dogs. I remember Billy Walters was big on the Broncos in that game. And Denver won that 24-10. The total in that was only 43.5. So that stayed under that was the lowest total we've had recently, 43.5 in that game. Speaking of the Panthers, that was a game in the Super Bowl where Cam Newton decided to make a business decision and not try to recover the fumble. Remember that? When he wouldn't dive in to recover the fumble? Is there a former player who's an analyst on TV right now who's a bigger clown, who's a bigger buffoon and a bigger clown than Cam Newton? He dresses up like an idiot for all these ESPN shows. He doesn't do his homework on the analysis. And I cannot believe ESPN continues to trot him out there, but I can believe it will because they have a lineup of carnival barkers on these shows. Cam Newton, to me, is now the worst of them all.
He's certainly a one seed, I will say that. He's got competition, but he's certainly a one seed.
All right, when we talk about the Rams-Seahawks matchup on Sunday night, third time we've seen this, 21-19, 38-37 in overtime. Can you see a scenario, Will, where this is one team pulls away and wins by double digits, where we don't have a third close game between these NFC West rivals?
Yeah, if Darnold implodes, the Rams I could see pulling away. And I guess I could see a scenario, it's unlikely, where the Rams just have no gas in the tank. They haven't played well, I would say, the last quarter of the season. Lost to the Falcons, trailed the Cardinals late. You go back at the last, like I said, quarter of the season, it's possible they're just out of gas. They're tired, third straight road game. And maybe Seattle, who's fresher and home and rested, maybe they just run them out of the building. So I could see either team pulling away. I wouldn't be shocked. It's the NFL. Wouldn't shock me, but I would say that's unlikely, even though I think it's possible. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's definitely fair. I mean, this is a third straight road game for the Rams, and they had to expend a lot of energy to win at Carolina and to win in Chicago, and they can't be running with a full tank of gas when they get up to Seattle this week. So I don't really feel like the Rams are going to run away and hide. But I do like the Rams a little bit in this game. And a lot of it comes down to Sam Darnold, who tends to, let's say, choke when he's on this type of stage. Now, the Rams and Seahawks played twice this season. Darnold has a combined 6 interceptions in those games. And again, I talked about this earlier. You go back to last year's wild card game, Vikings at Rams, and Rams won that 27-9. Sam Darnold, quarterback of the Vikings, was picked once and sacked 9 times. I don't know. Will, does the Rams defense have his number? Do they know exactly how to defend Sam Darnold?
Yeah, it's possible. And that was Darnold coming off a game where I thought he was worse the week before, where the Vikings had a chance to get the one seed against Detroit. And if he was a pitcher, he would have walked 5 or 6 batters. He was all over the place. And the Vikings, trust me, I remember the game all too well. I had futures on the Vikings, division, one seed, NFC, all, you name it. And the Vikings had guys open, and he was wild. And that's a Lions defense. The next time we saw them after they got the bye, got trashed by the Commanders at home. Mm-hmm. So Darnold in a big spot is certainly a concern. You throw in the injury, it's hard to have a ton of confidence in Darnold, even though he is set up to play well with a defense at home, all of those things. Let me ask you, it's something we haven't talked about, even though you know, we've talked about this game pretty extensively. Zach Charbonnet, him being hurt, is that something? Is that nothing? Does that matter to you?
I like Zach Charbonnet, but to me, that's nothing in the matchup. I think they're going to be fine. They've actually got a workhorse back who can Kenneth Walker, who can handle a bigger workload. So I don't think that's going to be an issue at all. You know, I was going to ask you about Matthew Stafford and how you felt like he played against the Bears last week. But we're going to run up against the break here. We'll talk more about Stafford against the Seattle defense. We'll talk more about Drake May against the Denver defense after a quick break. And we'll update college hoops. By the way, we're at the half. Michigan, a 16.5 or 17-point favorite against Ohio State, scored the final 3 points of the half, and the Wolverines lead the Buckeyes 33-30 at the break in Ann Arbor. Still to go tonight in the Mountain West, Utah State, a 5.5-point favorite at Colorado State. All right, Will Hill and I back here in a couple minutes. More on the NFL Conference Championship games here on VSEM Primetime, the Sports Betting Network.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
I know Dana White's fired up for the World Cup. He loves soccer. Get ready to win a larger-than-life World Soccer Championship experience only at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. One lucky winner scores a two-night stay at Circa, a VIP cabana for the games at Stadium Swim with $500 in credit, plus $250 in food and beverage. Arrive in style with limo transportation and celebrate with cocktails at Legacy Club. Enter now and kick off the World Soccer Championship at Circa Resort and Casino. For giveaway details, visit CircaLasVegas.com. Well, that's the World Soccer Championship. I think we know that as the World Cup. Did you see the clip of Dana White this week talking about how anybody can play soccer? It's the easiest game in the world to play.
I didn't see it, but that is an interesting take.
We'll run it on next Friday's show. I saved it just for future use. Hey, we're getting some tweets in here. We're talking about the weather, the winter storm that's going to wreak havoc on the upper Midwest, South, the East Coast, out there where Will Hill lives in Connecticut this weekend. We got a tweet here from Summit in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, and the current temperature is 15 below. Fred Courier in Buffalo, 4 degrees right now in Buffalo. We had a tweet from Chicago, 12 below, Minnesota, 19 below. Will, you going to be out? You going to take the family out tomorrow?
Good day to go swimming. Yeah, yeah. I will be warm and cozy inside. I'll be hosting Live Bet Saturday from 3 to 6 Eastern, and then Sunday, look, we got a fridge full of food, some steaks, some chicken wings. Shout out to Omaha Steaks. I can't go wrong with them. And I will be warm, cozy on the couch and making some food, watching these games all weekend. Got college basketball on Saturday. So, no, I will not be outside at all.
Yeah, College Hoops Saturday schedule is really, really good. We talked about some of it with Nick Bogdanovich. We're going to talk cover more ground with Wes Reynolds coming up here in about 10 or 15 minutes. Will, just to clean up something we talked about, Patriots-Panthers at Super Bowl about 20 years ago. Patriots won that game 32-29, a low total of around 38 in that game. If you bet the under, you thought you had a dead under late in the first half, and you looked it up. What were the details?
Scoreless until 3 minutes, 11 seconds left in the first half when the Patriots scored a touchdown. No big deal. 7-0 with 3 minutes left in the half is still an under. This game went to half 14-10. You had 24 minutes in the final 3 minutes and 10 seconds. And then you had a scoreless third quarter. So you had a scoreless first quarter, a scoreless third quarter, and then 37 points in the fourth quarter. Just a wild sequence in terms of that total, where 24 points in the final 3 minutes of the half after being scoreless, and then 37 points in the fourth quarter after a scoreless third quarter. Very, very wild ride if you had that total.
You know, reflecting on last year's Super Bowl, when the Eagles blew out the Chiefs 34-0 late in the third quarter in that game, were you on the right side last year? Did you have the Eagles in that game like I did?
I was not.
No?
Did okay on some of the live stuff, but I was of the belief that, you know what, give me Mahomes and Andy Reid until they beat me. It served me well before, but that was one where it finally bit me.
Where do you think the Chiefs go from here? You're going to have Patrick Mahomes off an injury recovery. I believe Travis Kelce's going to return for one more year. He doesn't want to go out like that. I believe he's going to make a comeback. He doesn't want to sit at home and be, Mr. Swift. He still wants to be a football star, so I think he's going to come back. Where do you think the Chiefs go from here? Because we're talking about the Broncos, who won the AFC West, and the Chargers, who made the playoffs, but not the Chiefs.
They'll be in the mix. I'm sure if you ask them, if they're sitting here at home watching the playoffs, they're thinking, man, if this season didn't go off the rails, we're better than these teams. We're better than the Texans, and we're better than the Patriots. But you know what? You got to prove it on the field, and they lost teams. They'll be in the mix. I don't think they're going to be a lock to go to the Super Bowl. And looking back at some of these runs, there were a lot of 50 games that went their way. I mean, we saw with the Yankees dynasty where they won championship after championship, and eventually it dries up. And when you win those championships, you get the ball to bounce your way a lot, and there's no guarantee that it'll bounce your way going forward. But you got Mahomes, you got Reed. I would say what are they going to open next year? Probably 8-1 to win the whole thing. Is that worth a shot? I don't think it's the worst bet, but I'm not cutting in line to bet it either. How about you?
I would not be cutting in line to bet it either. And skeptical about the Chiefs. There are a lot of weaknesses on that team. They're going to have to rebuild. And you got Mahomes coming off the injury. But I think they will be contenders. Again, you're going to get a Chiefs team that's definitely going to be highly motivated. Let's put it that way. They got embarrassed this season. The Chiefs lost their final game of the season to the Raiders in Las Vegas. And that was ugly. Raiders won that 14-12 on a long field goal. By Daniel Carlson at the end. Aiden O'Connell was the quarterback. Pete Carroll was the celebrating coach that day as Raiders finished the season 3-14. Carroll is out, and Tom Brady and John Spytek now running the organization and searching for a new coach. Let's talk about the coaching carousel in the NFL. Well, if I'm betting on a Raiders head coach at this point, I think you're going to get one out of the Broncos. You're going to get one from the Broncos staff or the Seahawks staff. It's going to be Clint Kubiak out of Seattle or Davis Webb off the Broncos staff. I really believe Tom Brady and John Spytek want to make an offensive hire, and that's probably going to be what the Raiders do. So the job's filled so far. Kevin Stefanski goes from Cleveland to Atlanta. John Harbaugh goes from Baltimore to the Giants. Robert Saleh, Niners defensive coordinator, failed former Jets coach, now with the Tennessee Titans. This is one that I really don't get. Jeff Hafley, Green Bay defensive coordinator, goes to Miami. Jesse Minter, Chargers DC, goes to Baltimore. Open jobs, Arizona, Cleveland, Las Vegas, Pittsburgh, Buffalo. We saw a clown show of a news conference this week in Buffalo. The GM survives. Coach gets fired. Bills probably should have won the game in Denver last week. He had a couple of controversial calls, and Sean McDermott's out. What's the most attractive job on the market right now, Will? Is it Buffalo?
It is, because you got the quarterback. He's not, he's not young anymore, but he's still, 30, 31? He's got enough age. He's got enough years in front of him where you figure you got 3-4 really good years with Allen. All right, you got May in the division, but you have the Jets, you have the Dolphins. I think it's pretty clearly, if you don't have the quarterback in the NFL, you don't have much else. The Bills at least have the quarterback. So I think it's pretty clearly the Bills. Would you disagree with that?
No, I think it's the Bills, even though I don't like the GM situation in Buffalo. The talent level in that roster is low. There's some things I don't like about that job. But with Josh Allen, if Brian Daboll gets that job, he's going to be dangerous. And I think Brian Daboll should get the job. Do you agree or no?
That's the first name. You know, I was doing the hit with Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis, VSiN by the Books, Monday morning when that news came down. And that's the name I threw out there just because if you're you're trying to win a Super Bowl, you got Josh Allen, your window is right now.
Right.
I can't see you going with a first-year coach. The retread names are not inspiring. Daboll, good offensive mind. Allen respects him. I don't like this idea that, I don't know if you heard this, Allen is sitting in on all the meetings and Allen's going to have say, input on the decision. That's a ridiculous way to run your franchise. You can't do that. But I do think Dable's a good fit.
Well, Daboll was in Buffalo before he went to take the Giants head coaching job, and he gets a lot of credit for developing Josh Allen initially. I think I don't know what the window is with Josh Allen because he runs so much. You know, he gets beat up so much, you wonder what the window is, but he's maybe got three more years. I don't know. The window being open for the Bills to get to the Super Bowl. This year it was wide open. You had no Mahomes, no Lamar Jackson, no Joe Burrow in the playoffs, and you still can't get there. But I'm going to contend the Bills – kind of got screwed by the officials in the game in Denver last week. And it's funny how you have that chain of events and then the coach is out.
Man,
and maybe Josh Allen's best shot at the Super Bowl goes by the wayside. Did you feel like the Bills got the worst of it with the officiating last week?
I didn't have a huge problem with it. I will say this. If you freeze time for a moment, and if you're a Bills fanboy, it's so cruel. Cooks is down with the ball at that split second. It's overtime. All you need is a field goal. You're going to the AFC title game. And before you can blink, the guy in the Broncos is running away with the ball. I didn't think Cooks had it long enough. I didn't love the interference calls in overtime. The one on White was legitimate. The other one was shaky, but Bosa roughed the passer anyway, which is going to be the same penalty. So if you're the Bills, don't turn the ball over five times. It was ridiculous to run a play before the half with no timeouts and turn the ball over there. And people saying McDermott got a raw deal. You know what? If I was the Bills brass, I would have never let him back in the building after that 13 seconds fiasco. You can't let the Chiefs go down the field. That game's, what, 3-4 years ago? So I thought he got a break coming back after that. So I think it was time for a change with Buffalo. I understand they probably didn't get a great whistle, but they had plenty of opportunities themselves to put the game away.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because you can say that Sean McDermott got a raw deal. But again, I said the same thing. After the 13-second fiasco in Kansas City, a few years ago, I would have fired him then. That was inexcusable. That can't happen. And he got lucky. He got a second chance. But Josh Allen can't turn the ball over as many times as he did in Denver last week too. So we can talk about the officials, but Josh Allen needs to play a much cleaner game than he did last week against the Broncos. So I'm not going to cry too much for the Bills, even though I did think they got the worst of the officiating in the game last week. I don't believe the Steelers' job is a great one because you have no clue what you're going to do at the quarterback spot. And the roster is not great. I think the Raiders' job's attractive. You get to start over. You get to pick your quarterback. You got $110 million in cap space. I do like the Raiders' job. The Browns' job, never attractive to anyone ever. And probably same true with the Arizona Cardinals. All right, we'll take a break. We come back. The Wizard, Hoosier Wes Reynolds, on top of the world, is going to break down the college hoops card for Saturday.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, Hoosier Wes Reynolds made the trip to South Beach to watch Indiana win the college football national championship. Never thought in my lifetime I would mumble that sentence, but it happened Monday night, and Wes is back in Vegas and on VSiN Primetime tonight. Wes, welcome back. Congratulations. The realization of a dream. You probably never thought you would see it happen. The Hoosiers on top of the college football world. How much did you pay for tickets, and how great was it Monday night?
Too much. I guess maybe it was worth it considering the result, but obviously it was a pretty hot ticket to get down there in Miami. And, you know, I wasn't going to go. I was just going to kind of be down there and just kind of be around the atmosphere, but I wasn't going to go to the game. And then I decided, you know what? live for today and worry about tomorrow tomorrow. And, you know, would have been kicking myself if I would have missed this forever. So ended up in the game. We were in the nosebleeds with a bunch of Miami fans, but wasn't a bad seat in the house when your team ends up winning. So, you know, just grateful to be along for the ride. Went to all four postseason games and traveled all over the country. And I'm really grateful to not have to travel anywhere this time around.
Yeah, that's a dream scenario for you. You win the Rose Bowl, the Peach Bowl, blowouts. You beat Miami on its home field in the national championship game. And our buddy the Bear, Chris Felica, who's a Miami grad, said, if these teams played 10 times, it would be 5-5. And I mentioned on the show last night, I disagree. I think it would be 7-3 Indiana. What's your view of that?
Well, fortunately, they only play one time that mattered, and the one time that mattered, Indiana got the win. But I would say probably 7-3. I felt Indiana was the better team, and Miami still even had a chance to win in the end. But, you know, Indiana, the way to get your respect is to go ahead and win the whole damn thing, and that's what they did.
All right, from college football, we go to college hoops. And recently, Wes, I know you said you had Michigan 4.5 points better than any other team in college hoops. Now, we're constantly adjusting the numbers on these teams. You got a lot of ups and downs throughout the course of the season. Michigan in a bit of a downer right now. Tonight, a 16.5, 17-point favorite against Ohio State has just scored 4 points in a row. The Wolverines go up 44-40 on Ohio State. Arizona's the hot team right now. Arizona's going to face BYU in a big game next week. How has the top of the college football ratings board changed for you? What do you make of Dusty May's Michigan team struggling a little bit here, failing to cover 5 in a row?
I still have them power rated number one, but I have dropped them a little bit. My number two rated team, by the way, would be Duke, about 3 points behind. And then I go Arizona and then Purdue in the four spot. But yeah, I've had to drop them a little bit because they haven't really been getting the margin as of late. So, you know, that's what happens. A team gets hot, right? And all of a sudden they look unbeatable. And then all of a sudden they get challenged a little bit. And the odds makers always catch up. The number is always the ultimate arbiter. So once you see a team win a bunch of these in a row, the price keeps increasing until it can't increase anymore. And then all of a sudden there's value on the other side, which so far at least you're seeing with Ohio State tonight.
All right, talk about a team that's winning and winning and winning some more. How about Nebraska? This is kind of like the college basketball version of your Indiana football story. Nebraska 19-0. Huskers did lose a key guard to injury the other night. They're 5.5 point favorites on the road at Minnesota on Saturday morning.
Yeah, and I still have Nebraska power rated about fifth. I have them behind Michigan, Purdue, Illinois, and Michigan State, just behind Michigan State there in the Big Ten. And I think this is a little bit of a tricky spot for them going to the barn against Minnesota. A very early tip tomorrow. Minnesota has proven that they can be live in these spots. Really probably deserved a better fate against Wisconsin, got beat at the buzzer on a three against the Badgers, and they lost 4 in a row now after they upset Iowa in the first week of January. They lose at home to USC by 1 in overtime, lose by 3 to Wisconsin, lose by 10 at Illinois, and then lose at Ohio State in overtime last Tuesday. So kind of feel like Minnesota's ripe for a win here. I think they've been playing a lot better ball than their results indicate. So I will likely be on the Gophers. I think Nebraska will get some support in the market. You may see some 6 tomorrow, but even at 5.5, I think Minnesota's worth a little something.
Yeah, Nick Bogdanovich made a reference to that earlier in the show tonight, too, and I tend to agree with you. Will Hill, how about UConn in the Big East?
Yeah, Wes, I want to get your thoughts on the team where I am here in Connecticut. Just general outlook on UConn. Can they win another title? And what are your thoughts here with them laying 10.5 against Nova? Always a public side. Is this a tax on the Huskies here laying a big number?
Well, and UConn, Will, as you well know, they hadn't really been covering a lot of numbers lately. They barely got by Georgetown. They had a tough game at Seton Hall. They didn't cover a big number against DePaul. They didn't cover at Providence. They didn't even cover against Marquette, who's been arguably the worst team in the Big East. So they've been, I think, like 5 in a row they haven't covered. I think UConn can get to a Final Four and win the whole thing. But one of the things, and I know you watch this team closely, Will, they foul like crazy. And they leave teams in the game. They're a little bit too aggressive on defense, a little bit too handsy. And, you know, that's something you worry about. I think at about 10, 10.5. I think that's the right number against Nova. Nova's kind of come back to earth a little bit, to be honest with you. They were shooting the three, lights out, and then they lose at home to St. John's. They do beat Georgetown on Wednesday, but they've been shooting a little bit above their skis, which is why I'm not really wanting to back Villanova tomorrow, but UConn's got to cover a game, I think, before I lay him here. Braylon Mullins, obviously the Indiana Mr. Basketball, I think has been as good as advertised, got a late start to the year. And this is an experienced team, and Danny Hurley's obviously an excellent coach. So absolutely they can go the distance, but they got to stop fouling so much because eventually that's going to bite them and they're going to leave a team in the game. They're going to get in the bonus early in the half like they do, and it's going to be a foul parade that's going to go against them at some point.
Fouling too much, that is a nice segue to our next game. Texas fouls a lot. Sean Miller, after the game, was complaining about his team and their inability to keep teams off of the line. They're a short favorite at home against Georgia. It's too early to start talking bubble teams, but right now, both these teams right on the fringe. How do you handicap this game?
Yeah, this is a game Texas, I think, has to have, though. I would lay money line here. It has to take back down to 2.5. They've got some good wins. They beat NC State out there in Maui. They beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa. They did beat Vanderbilt, but two tough losses coming in here. Lost at home to A&M, lost at Kentucky. They were in the number basically the whole way and then just didn't have enough at the end. But 2-4 in the SEC and now 11-8. This is one I think the Longhorns really got to have. Georgia, I think, has been the surprise in the SEC. They're 16-3 right now, 4-2 in league play, number one tempo in the country. Mike White's got them playing super fast, but I like the Longhorns here, kind of their backs against the wall and the more desperate team here. So lay the short favorite with the Horns.
Follow him at Wes Reynolds 1. We got time to hit a few more games here in the College Hoops card for Saturday with Wes. How about game 675 on the rotation, Illinois-Purdue? Wes, I was at Pauley Pavilion on Tuesday night, and the Boilermakers absolutely blew that game. They were up 6 with 2 minutes to go. UCLA scores the final 8 points to win 69-67. You think Purdue bounces back here, 5.5-point favorite. By the way, Kylan Boswell out for the Illini.
Yeah, and that's why you're seeing this go up to 5.5. And I would like the bounce back. I think the number's about right. Purdue, of course, has Indiana next Tuesday down in Assembly Hall, but no look ahead here. This is a big rivalry in its own right with Purdue and Illinois. Underwood's guys have won 8 in a row here, but I think that they are going to miss Boswell here. This is a senior guard, and they've got a lot of new parts on this team. Now, they've been playing very well, Stojakovic and the kid Mirkovic, and they've got a relatively deep bench. But I think this is a get-right spot for Purdue, where they got to say, okay, we are a true number one seed. They dropped a little. I think they dropped to a 2 in some of the bracketologies, but we're as good as anybody in the country, and I think that they really are. So I would expect the Boilers to bounce back, but I think 5.5 is probably right.
Talking about peaks and valleys, Purdue's in a valley right now, not playing very good basketball here the last couple weeks since that win at Wisconsin. How about San Diego State UNLV? Really intriguing matchup, Wes, with the Rebels off a stunning win at Utah State. Aztecs off a tough last second loss at Grand Canyon. 5.5 is the number at the Thomas and Mack on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, and I make it about 5 here. San Diego State, still a good defense, but not the shutdown defense. If you've watched this team enough this year, they are not, you know, shutdown defense. They're another team, by the way. We were talking about UConn just a minute ago. They're another team that fouls like crazy because they're super aggressive, so they're going to send a team to the line. We know that's what UNLV wants to do. This is not a good three-point shooting team. They want to drive it and get to the rim, get to the foul line. I think they do a pretty good job of that. This has been an up-and-down UNLV team, though. Lose at home to Montana, lose at home to Tennessee Martin, then win at Stanford, win at Utah State, beat Boise State at home. So they're a very up-and-down bunch. Also won at Memphis earlier in November, mm-hmm. So I think 5's about right here. Small lean to the Aztecs.
Yeah, I think the spot is telling you San Diego State. I was hoping the number was going to be a little bit cheaper. Wes, final 25 seconds or so. Any other games you got your eye on right now?
Yeah, Kansas State only getting 4.5 to KU's kind of seemed to figure it out, right? They blew out Iowa State. They blew out Baylor. They went at Colorado. Kansas State had lost their first 5 games in the Big 12 and then survived against Utah. And yet they're only getting 4.5 at the Octagon of Doom. That's a small number for Kansas. I'm not taking that bait. I like the Wildcats here.
All right, Wes Reynolds, the national champion Indiana Hoosiers football team. Congratulations, Wes. Appreciate the time tonight. Good luck.
All right. Thanks, Wes.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're getting ready for Big Game 60 with a big deal to match. Save $60 off VSiN Pro annual subscription when you sign up using promo code PRIME. Become a VSiN Pro annual subscriber. Bet smarter all year long with full access to our daily best bets from VSiN host and guest, real-time DraftKings and circuit betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, matchup analysis, 24/7 video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus all of our betting guides and picks for the Super Bowl and March Madness. Everything we do is up on vsin.com and the VSiN Watch app. Check it out. Don't miss out on this big game deal. vsin.com/subscribe. Again, use promo code PRIME. If you use promo code PRIME, Will Hill might get a bonus in his next contract. Promo code PRIME, save $60 off VSiN Pro's annual subscription today, vsin.com/subscribe. And we kicked off tonight's show with Mike Palm talking about the NFL Conference Championship games. And we were talking also a little college hoops there tonight because our game of the night is Ohio State at Michigan. And, Will, I mentioned that I had a play on Ohio State plus 16.5 tonight. Didn't love it. I said at some point the Wolverines are going to start blowing teams out again. Well, they're not blowing out the Buckeyes tonight. We've got exactly 10 minutes to go in the game in Ann Arbor. The 16.5 looks good. We got a little ways to go, but Michigan is on top 50-48 and having trouble pulling away from the Buckeyes here tonight. This number actually ticked up today. Will, as you and I talked about during the break, there was money on Michigan in the betting market. It actually closed as high as 17.
I would say it was sharp money on Michigan, but it was money on Michigan. Mm-hmm. We know that. I don't know how sharp it was because it's not looking like it's going to be the right side. You never want to count your money, but when you're getting 17, this is a 2-point game with 9 minutes and change to go. You're obviously on the right side of it. I stayed away. I was thinking what you were thinking, where Michigan hasn't covered since what, January 1st or 2nd, the beginning of the month, 5 straight non-covers. I was just worried that Michigan had in their back pocket one of these big-time performances, right, and that maybe they were due to win one of these games by 20, 30 points. But you know, due is a dangerous word in betting, as we know, and maybe Michigan's the point where it's just a little bit of a midseason lull. There's a tax on Michigan. You combine those two factors, and you get games where Michigan's not covered. Remember UConn, the year they won the title, really both years they won the title recently, 2 years ago and 3 years ago. Really good pre-conference, really good in the tournament, struggled in conference play, lost a bunch of games, played a bunch of close games. So it's hard with these teams that you're familiar with and they're familiar with you. It's hard to blow these teams out. We're seeing that with Michigan here in conference play.
You know, Tim Murray and I talked about that a couple nights ago. When Danny Hurley won his first title at UConn 3 years ago, that team lost 3 games in a row in late January, and I think 4 out of 5. And a lot of people jumped off the bandwagon. And then by the time you get back to March, Hurley gets UConn to peak again, and the Huskies win and cover 6 in a row on the way to the championship. So you cannot overreact to what you see in January. Every coach is trying to get his team to peak in March. Easier said than done, not easy to do. But obviously right now Dusty May and the Wolverines are in a bit of a valley after peaking from sometime around Thanksgiving through the end of December. 50-48 with 9 minutes to go. Wolverines up 2 on the Buckeyes. We got a big college hoops card. If you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you're going to see a bunch of plays up there overnight and by tomorrow morning. I'll be on the show tomorrow morning with Tim Murray talking about my top plays in college hoops. Tim hosts that show early on Saturday mornings. Thanks to Mike Palm, Super Dave Ross, Nick Bogdanovich, and Hoosier Wes Reynolds for guesting on tonight's show. Will Hill, let's wrap it up talking about the NFL games this weekend and our best bets. And you and I both on the Broncos here, home dogs in the AFC Championship. Simply thought the adjustment from Bo Nix to Jarrett Stidham was too much. And I'm not going to sit here and say I expected Stidham to play like a superstar, but I think he could play well enough. And are the Broncos going to be able to run the ball against this New England defense? Is the Denver defensive front going to put all sorts of pressure on Drake May? You know, we've talked about all sorts of the matchups, the the trends and the angles tonight. The bottom line was I thought 5.5 was too big a number. I got Broncos plus 5.5. I believe you have the same bet. So what do you have here, and what do you have on props?
Yeah, I like the Broncos. I think everything you said, and you get to the point this time of the week when there's only two games and it's going to be worse for the Super Bowl. You get to this point of the week, it's hard to say something you haven't heard. It's hard mm-hmm. to say something that somebody else hasn't said. It's hard to find new angles on the stuff, but I'm with you. I thought this line would open 2.5, and if you like Denver, if you're lucky, maybe you get a 3. You're probably not going to get a 3.5. I was blown away the fact that this was 4, 4.5, 5, whatever it opened at, even 6 in some spots. And I'll say it again, it doesn't mean just because you're getting an extra couple points, if you think you are, and we both agree you probably are getting a couple of extra points of value, it doesn't mean those extra points are going to come to fruition. It doesn't mean Denver's going to cover. It just means it's a good good bet by the percentages. But I like Denver plus the points. I lean towards an under. After last week with New England and Houston and how there was no offense, the yards per play for both teams was really poor, and it still went over. I'm probably not going to play it. I do like, from a prop perspective, I like Pop Douglas, the New England receiver, over. I haven't seen a number on him. He's usually in the 18-20.5 range. It's usually a pretty low number, but anything under like 22.5, I would play over. He's been targeted more. Surtain probably guards Booty or Diggs or takes turns between those two. I think this could be a Douglas game where he gets a couple of looks deep, a couple of shots deep, scored the first touchdown last week. So I think Douglas to go over a lowish number here is a good bet, Matt.
Okay, let's look at the second game in Seattle. And the third time these teams played, been 21-19 and 38-37 in overtime. What's your game script here for part three between the Rams and the Seahawks? And again, I've got the Rams at 30-1 to win the Super Bowl. I've not made any sort of a hedge or play on this game yet, even though I do like the Rams. I like the Rams' chances here. I like the Rams as 2.5-point dogs. How about you?
I'm with you. I like the Rams. There were some threes early in the week, even if they were a little more juiced. It's just hard to see. It's hard to make a case that Seattle is 2.5 points better than the Rams, even with home field, even with the rest. It's not a good spot for the Rams. Third straight road game. They haven't played great the last quarter of the season, and now the two playoff games, they haven't covered in either one. So that's a concern if you're the Rams, but I just go back to when they played pretty much a month ago to the day. The Rams were leading by 16 in the fourth quarter with no Adams, with offensive line injuries, with defensive injuries, and they were still up 16, and nobody at that point would have said Seattle's the better team. I think everyone would have agreed the Rams are the better team. And now you fast forward a month, Seattle beat the Panthers and a bunch of banged up players with the 49ers a couple of times, and now Seattle is a full field goal or 2.5 points better, even though it's a home field. I can't get there. I think the Rams are right in this game. I prefer Stafford over Darnold. I still prefer McVay over McDonald, even though I thought McVay called a terrible game last week. I will take the points with the Rams. So I like both dogs here, Matt.
I do too. Don't you have to make Sam Darnold prove it to you? We talked about it in the two meetings this season between the Rams and the Seahawks in the NFC West games. Darnold combined for 6 interceptions in those two games. And you go back to last year in the wild card round, Darnold and the Vikings in LA against the Rams. And the Rams won that game 27-9. Sam Darnold picked once, sacked 9 times. It feels like the Rams defense has his number. I'm not afraid to bet against Sam Darnold here. And also, do you wonder, Will, if the injury is going to play a factor? The oblique injury that was talked about so much last week that really didn't affect the game because the Seahawks scored. They ran an opening kickoff back for a touchdown. They were running downhill. He didn't have to face adversity or do much in that game. He was 12-for-17 passing. Is there a chance here that Sam Darnold's not fully healthy or not able to do what he needs to do here? And does the injury play into your handicap at all?
It doesn't play into my handicap, but I think it's a free roll because it's not being baked into the number. You can't tell me Seattle's a 2.5-point favorite and there's baked in some concern about Darnold. This is basically telling you Darnold is completely healthy, 100% healthy. Even if it's a 10, 20, 30% chance that Darnold's either compromised or re-injures it, I think that's another reason to bet the Rams. If you're of the belief Darnold is banged up, under rushing yards, not a bad way to play it. He had 0 carries for 0 yards last week, hasn't run for 10-plus yards since early December against the Falcons, so that might be a way to attack it. But I don't trust Darnold. I'm with you. It's both dogs for me. And Rams-Broncos is the only Super Bowl possibility out of the four that we haven't gotten and haven't gotten recently. The other three possibilities here are all rematches of one we've seen in the last decade or so.
Remember that throw that Matthew Stafford made last week against the Bears from the right hash mark all the way across the field to the left sideline? perfectly on the money, and Devontae Adams made that sideline grab with both toes down. Stafford did not play well against the Bears in general, but that's as good a throw as you're ever going to see an NFL quarterback make. How do you expect Stafford to play Sunday?
I think he'll play well. An older quarterback, banged up finger. I was worried. That's why I was on the Bears, and he certainly got lucky last week. I was worried about him with the finger playing well in that cold weather. Weather's probably not going to be as much of a factor this week. I don't think it will be. But your point is well taken. He did not play well last week, but that was a hell of a throw. It reminded me of the throw. I wonder if you remember it. I'm sure you do. Eli Manning to Mario Manningham, boy, there was just a sliver of space, and you could not hand the ball, place the ball any better in a clutch spot. That's what that throw reminded me of, the precision.
Incredible throw. Yeah, good call there. Stay tuned after VSiN Primetime Sports Gambling Podcast with Sean Green and Ryan Kramer. Colby Dantz is going to be on the show tonight, as well as CJ Sullivan. Don't forget about the VSiN Morning Line. Wake up early with Tim Murray, 9 a.m. on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Great job tonight, Will Hill. Have a winning weekend.
Let's do it.